Even Scuttlebutt couldn't be more excited than I was at the news that the new Archbishop of Canterbury, Justin Welby, to be enthroned this month, is not only a former royal executive and a new-fledged bishop, but lists sailing as his hobby. He's one of us! While it is, I suppose, perfectly possible to be a holy and humble Christian while disliking the sea and having no feeling for boats at all, it seems to me that experience of things maritime is a handy shortcut, especially to the humility, but to the mysticism too. I suppose mountaineering could have something of the same effect, but the sea is a perfect metaphor for the infinite and unknowable, the great stretch of rich emptiness beyond the far horizon. At sea, free from light pollution, we see the stars and trace the moon's dappled track across the water. We go towards spectacular sunsets and come to accept that sunrises can be oddly disappointing, and sometimes the poet is right to observe that the sun climbs slowly, slowly, but westward look, the land is bright. We know all about the darkest hour before the dawn, the immense impact of a small light in deep blackness. We encounter extraordinary creatures leading wonderful lives, dolphins and sharks and whales and flying fishes. And anybody who's sailed the west coast of Ireland understands exactly how monks and mystics found their metaphor for faith out on those rocky edges. You can feel your way into Valencia Harbour in a dank and total whiteout, seeing nothing at all before nightfall, and then wake to the most glorious celestial vision of green and blue grace. We also know about flogging to windward and being driven back, of coasts that grow no closer hour by hour. We don't need to read St. John of the Cross to know about the dark night of the soul. We've sailed through the damn thing. It isn't only Christianity that respects the great metaphor of the sea, either. For years after sailing on the first trial of Tim Severin's Sohar, I had an Arab locket in which the words of the Quran, translated as, "He it is who hath appointed for you the stars, that you may guide yourselves thereby in the darknesses of land and sea. He hath made the signs distinct for a people which hath knowledge." Rabindranath Tagore told his Hindu followers, "You cannot cross the sea by standing and staring at the water." And Gandhi spoke of the sea as the divinity of which we are all tiny drops. So there you are, a sailing archbishop, even in land-bound Canterbury, is entirely appropriate. And if it wasn't all tiresomely planned already by some dryland clerics, I could offer for the enthronement ceremony to throw open the files of the 15 years when we did seawords dinners, maritime songs and readings at the National Maritime Museum. Sadly, they seem to have lost interest in having those now, but we got everyone from lifeboatman to the Duke of Edinburgh up there declaiming in our day. For there is a marvellous wealth of poetry and of hymns for a web-footed archbishop to enjoy. Everyone knows Eternal Father Strong to Save, but go a bit more low church and you find some splendid stuff in Sankey's Sacred Songs and Solos. The Lower Lights is a good one, in which God runs the big lighthouse, but he leaves within our keeping all the lights along the shore. Trim your feeble lamp, my brother, cast a glim across the wave, some poor seaman fainting, drowning, you may rescue, you may save. Then bring on a chorus of Will Your Anchor Hold in the Storms of Life, and perhaps the Temperance Hymn, Throw Out the Lifeline, Someone is Drifting Away. And then perhaps Old Ship of Zion, Bent and Battered from the Storms of Life, Sailing on Forever. And one I can't trace from an American gospel site, which puts us on a wide and stormy sea, sailing to eternity, as thy great admiral orders thee, sail on, sail on, sail on. It goes on to urge us past some pretty familiar problems, sky o'ercast and canvas torn, and comrades who tremble and refuse, not to mention starling waves thy craft assail, art powerless drifting with the gale. See, it's stirring stuff. Wouldn't it be great? A galvanising enthronement, a sou'wester instead of a mitre on the poop of the battered old Church of England, a bit of rousing, surfing, sailor-like optimism, instead of all that inland, inward-looking angst.